Hello, good morning.
Good morning.
I titled my little presentation, Beat the Winter Blues with Pranayama. And what the heck does that mean? The winter blues, what is that? Well, it's definitely something that I believe is real, and it's definitely something that affects people, I would say, who are farther north or farther south in latitude, farther away from the equator, where there is a more consistent application of the sun. What we're talking about here in winter blues is a phenomenon whereby in the winter time especially, for those of us at a latitude like me here in Montana, you feel tired and sleepy a lot, or you know, it feels bad consistently when the alarm goes off in the morning. That's one way it looks like. People instinctively, I think, drink more coffee, or maybe they drink coffee when they normally wouldn't, or maybe they feel irritable or not very ambitious to get things done. And even more serious, they more easily succumb to colds or flu or other illnesses. They're more susceptible to illnesses. And they feel more melancholy, or more likely to feel melancholy or depressed. And, you know, the problem with this is that it also affects more people more if they're older or already in poor health. People who are in poor health, who live at a latitude like us, it's tough when you live at a high altitude. And, you know, it's no mystery why people, when they are at a retirement age, they flock to the southern climates. Well, what's behind this? I would say that what I've observed is that there is a difference in the amount of prana that's available to living beings depending on the season. And maybe some of you know this. What I've noticed, though, is that it depends on how much sun you get in your location. And when it's overcast for days and days and days at a time, and especially if you're at that winter time when the angle of the sun's rays are coming and hitting the atmosphere where you are at a more oblique angle, it seems like there's just a lot less prana in the air. And it gets consumed more quickly by the living beings and the things that are there. So there's less left over. And of course, we absorb a fair amount of the prana that we get when we're trying to sleep at night. And sleep sometimes is a bit more difficult at night during winter time. So essentially, people who are very healthy, they manage to absorb a lot more prana, I believe, in the summertime, or when you're in a place that's a southern climate, than in a northern climate. So we get this winter blues thing. Okay, and how do you address that? So I started being affected by this when I was maybe in my late 30s, and it affected me in various ways, just like those winter blues descriptions I had. And I didn't know what to do, and I tried lots of different things, but at a certain point, I arrived at the conclusion that I might be able to make this better by more reliably getting more prana in me. And so I started reading, and I read a lot of descriptions about this in Theosophy and various things, and I've tried various ways to work at getting a more dependable supply of prana in myself, and I can happily report that this is something that you can completely master and take command over. And I think that it's something that will pay dividends the rest of your life. I don't get tired. I work 10 to 15 hours a day, sometimes 6-7 days a week, and my biggest challenge is that there's so many things that I really wish to do, and I feel ambitious to do, and I have to maybe stop myself from just working too many hours. So I really feel that I've gotten an upper hand on this. And I'm going to tell you how I did that. We've all heard, many of us, about this breathing ritual, which we call Jwal Kool's 8-count, 4-count, whatever you want to call it, the breathing ritual, which definitely brings in more prana. And I know that all of you have used this from time to time. Some of you use it very reliably. You maybe use it every day. And I think that you're probably using it more for spiritual reasons than physical reasons. And I'm actually here to talk about today more of a physical health effect that you can get from mastering and practicing this. And with that in mind, well, how do I do this? Okay, well, I started out doing it as a ritual, like the Dwal Kul breathing ritual, and I still do that at times. But I would say the really big difference for me has been to take responsibility for and manage the intake of prana just in the way that we all manage our intake of food, that we manage our sleep time, that we manage our work day. These kind of things people are very familiar with, and people who take responsibility for and take these in hand and manage them to the greatest success, they obviously are very effective people. I think a lot of times people don't consider this idea of managing and topping off the tank, so to speak, each day with prana. And I'm telling you, that's exactly what I did. And so what does that look like? How do you know if you have enough prana? How do you know if you're lacking in prana? How do you know if you have too much prana? So that's a great question to ask yourself. Have you, through means that you've taken, actions that you've taken, experienced taking in too much prana? And what does that look like? Or what does it feel like if you start the day and you start doing some prana exercises? And what does it feel like when you're half full? So I'd like to talk about these a little bit and basically how it manifests in my life. It feels to me like my body is a big sponge. And the real point in all of this is to make this process more conscious and less of something that's just an unconscious thing. You just leave it up to nature, leave it up to chance, you might say. And that is to feel my body, feel what it feels like at any given time to know whether I need more. Now, we're always taking in prana when we're taking every breath. So that's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is, are you really optimized and topped off? Because I believe that the average person breathes in a way which is kind of shallow and kind of rapid, and it doesn't actually absorb nearly as much prana as is in the air and which is available to them. So, and there is definitely an action that could be had when you consciously attract prana to yourself, because prana is something that is it's very attuned to us. And I'll tell you that if you partake of prana in a very conscious way, meaning that I'm going to say, well, right now I'm going to top off the tank because I'm feeling a little bit tired, what I do is I place my attention actually on my surroundings, the atmosphere around me, and I believe at that point that there is a higher concentration of prana, and they all these little globules of vitality, they actually believe and respond to your desire to take in more, and they come close to you, and suddenly there's a cloud of shimmering vitality right there for you. And this is an important part, because if you take a breath and it has a lot higher density of this in there, you can really feel it. I do. I really do. So this is an important consideration. It isn't just doing the breathing. It's also attracting to yourself this higher concentration, which is, I would say, a part of conscious breathing. It's consciously doing this in a maybe not so much a ritual way, but a very definite way, a deft way. And then the important part beyond that is to take a very deep lungful and then to hold it for some length of time. And I know that that's something that the masters have endeavored to get us to do more with the ritualistic pranayama breathing, which is that you hold it. And the thing is, excuse me, when you hold a deep lungful of air and vitality, it allows those subtle structures inside of you that are able to ingest and to digest and distribute the vitality, which is not so much a physical thing. It's a super physical thing, super mundane thing. It takes the average body a little bit more time to extract that pranic energy from as it's clinging to physical atoms of air and atmosphere. And so I can feel this and I can see it happening inside of me. So really, this just comes down to deciding to manage this yourself and to make it a habit in your life to many times a day to check yourself. And how can you check yourself? Well, you might take one deep breath and see what it feels like. If it feels like the energy comes in, you feel it, but it feels like, well, then it dissipates into your cells. It feels a little bit tingly, but then it kind of goes away within a few seconds. Well, I know that for me, that means I can use more. And so I take another one, and I take another one. Excuse me. And it's a lot like eating a meal, you know, and stopping eating your meal when you're full. And of course, as you're doing this, you're visualizing and seeing and expecting this prana to be attracted to you and in front of you, and you're breathing it in, a very high density of it, and then just feeling it once it goes in your lungs, and you hold, and the amount of time you hold is entirely up to you. I'm not here to advocate that you hold your breath for a long, long time. It's really about, it's a lot like, well, how long do you chew your food? I'm not, you know, I don't think it's really up to anybody to tell somebody else how long to chew their food. It's the right amount. And you actually, I think, are equipped to know how long that should be. You hold it and you feel it go out to your extremities, and you feel it tingling in all the cells of your whole atom, of your whole body, excuse me, and dwell on it. And feel it, and feel this delicious feeling. It's a delicious feeling. It's a very, very pleasing feeling. And then wait for a little bit. Take a few normal breaths and see how it feels. And then try another one. And it's a matter of training yourself to understand, well, when have I had enough? Or when is this enough? It's really, I think, better to learn to manage these things by your feelings and your instincts than to sort of memorize numbers or just do what somebody else says to do. That's what I'm here to advocate, is to consider adopting a practice whereby you manage this just the same way that you manage how much you eat or how much you drink or how much exercise you get each day, or any number of things when you're taking something in and you're moderating and modulating how much you take in. Try to think of it that way, and I can guarantee you that if you make this a lifelong practice, you can make all those winter blues things that I just mentioned go away permanently. Now, it's not going to happen right away, because when you begin to take in a lot more prana, the structures in your body that do the distribution and that use this prana, they're probably not accustomed to having so much in there, and they actually need to sort of adjust and grow so that it can accommodate greater amount. And you shouldn't be impatient with this, and you shouldn't try to overdo this, because it is possible to overdo prana. I just want to say that if you do too much of this, it will stimulate too much kundalini in you, and you might want to find out what that's like, but then learn to avoid that. Or if you oversaturate yourself, you might actually have a hard time sleeping. And I've experienced both of these things. And so instead of just saying, well, playing with matches can create a fire, so I'm not going to play with matches. I'm not going to do that. Well, actually, it's actually better to learn to effectively use matches, but just not start a fire. And that's what I'm here to advocate, is learn where your limits are and learn through feeling and consciously taking responsibility for this, how to be at your optimal health, your optimal topped-off level of prana, which will, by the way, help you with all of your spiritual faculties. You'll be more spiritually sensitive. I know that this is true for me. But there's this whole host of other physical health, purely health issues that are really, really greatly affected by this. So this is what I wanted to share this morning. So thanks for the time, Ron and Dwayne.